There are at least two separate ways to read my experience in its relationship with Dr. N.K.'s theory. 1. My experience indicates he is correct regarding time as energy, and the way time can carry telepathic material. To quote him, "Once we understand how to make time dense at will, then we will be able to communicate information telepathically at will." Or, 2. My experience is a result, a causal connection, of the experiments and truth of his work. The difference being that it is possible that any major telepathic reception would induce the massive time dysfunction I experienced, for the reasons given in Dr. N.K.'s theory. In which case, no matter who transmitted to me, including the Logos, instinct itself, I'd sense the time transformations involved. A further point. It's evident from what Dr. N.K. says that it would be the intent to cause a great leap in time density in order to transmit information telepathically, not the other way around, i.e., increase density as means, the telepathic info as ends. Not send info telepathically as means of increasing time density somewhere. The leap in time density, the entire experience of radically rolled back time, would be an automatic experience of any telepathic receiver, would have to happen in order for him to receive. This surely would be more evident if it was not a person normally sensitive to telepathic info transfer. Someone like me, who never normally got info by telepathy, would experience a unique and surprising transformation in time and not understand why. Normal telepaths probably would have become accustomed to it. My sense of time changes, in terms, I guess, of density, would indicate a strong artificial sending system and little, if any, natural sensitivity in me. This indicates that rather than me having hyped up my input, they hyped up their output. As means, they created dense time around me, and thus were able to transmit. I infer from this, assuming all I've figured out in this sequence is correct so far, that Dr. N.K., or someone anyhow, and probably someone connected with Pulkovo, did in fact finally manage to figure out how to increase time density at will as desired. Note. Pulkovo was the Russian observatory where Nikolai Kozyrev carried out some of his research. End note. All this indicates that, 1. Telepathic transmission to me of info was the goal. 2. Increasing the density of time around me was the means. 3. I was an effect and not a cause, which explained why I felt so much under duress and acting out adventitious command. I probably was. But that's not the whole story. 4. Probably it was Pulkovo, or related to it. Why me? Ubik, no doubt. The fact that it resembled Dr. N.K.'s work, even seemed to parody it. Chance, a meaningful, acausal logos effect. Coincidence brought the novel and me to their attention. The logos purpose was achieved in all this, though since the Logos foresaw all this when it imprinted the ideas into me originally in 1968. Thus, it caused Lem et al. To take an interest in Ubik and to invite me to come to Poland and all else that happened. The Logos purposes were always served in this primarily since it excited us all into what we did initially. We all were doing the Lord's work, so to speak, being brought to salvation individually and helping in the general plan. Thus, we who were secular scientific and left-wing came around to an awareness of the Logos, and, as Heraclitus says, we woke up from our dream and began to see reality, i.e., the plan or Logos. And so it came to be, at least for me. Throughout all this, the Logos was preemptive in time and in authority and in will and teleology, and it triumphed through us, not despite us. Using this multiplex human project as its plastic medium, The Logos ignited at last a dazzling triumph for dignity, for justice, for understanding, and for truth above all. The Spirit of truth, which knows all from the Father. This was vast, benign, divine intervention within our work, like the invisible leavening of the bread, etc. In his article, Dr. N.K. states that, 1. Time is an energy which enters material systems. 2. It maintains everything. 3. It is everywhere simultaneously. And therefore, 4. It can transmit information everywhere telepathically. And 5. In this fashion, it probably transmits instinctive knowledge to living creatures, all biological entities. And 6. It is even possible that it regulates and informs and harmonizes inanimate entities such as stars. This is a description of the Logos, energy plus information, which is everywhere. That's Mr. Runciter, plus the spray can of Ubik. If we can see identity between Dr. N.K.'s time and the Logos, the Word of God, then there is no problem in explaining the entry, even a preemptive entry, into any successful time density activity by the Logos, outsmarting long in advance man's own personal plans. By definition, by affecting a massive density in time, they are involving the Logos, which is already informed, i.e., whatever information might be artificially transferred telepathically. This is the normal method used by the Logos to assist and inform living creatures anyhow. The artificial information would simply enter as a portion of a vaster, older stream. The best way of viewing all these elements, Dr. N.K.'s theory, Ubik, March 1974, is to see confirmation of the Logos reality, vide Dr. N.K.'s paper, when he discusses simultaneous transfer of information throughout the universe to all biological entities via time. The Pulkovo work has rediscovered the Logos at work and given it the name Kronos instead, Father Kronos, from whose race we are all descended, and who controls all things. It could be said that if Dr. N.K., i.e. Pulkovo, was feeding lines to me, the Logos was feeding lines, i.e. prompting, to him, beyond and behind the figure of any and all temporal powers and their intentions, lie the intentions and power of God. Here is an excellent illustration of that. Man proposes, God disposes. If indeed telepathy is the universal medium of information exchange, then the Logos, if it existed, would use it also. Those involved in experimentation with time and its info transfer uses would be in more direct connection with the Logos as plan than most of us. We still serve our ex-employer, Mr. Runciter, and he still assists and advises as before. Nothing has changed. He knows how to get through to us and what to bring us to restore us. And what advice, info, to lay on us, all of us. The dream about James certainly expressed what I saw in 374, with the Creator producing first solar flares, or the atom and its moving parts, then from it the baby, and then evolving from the baby Kathy, but that he had to injure Tessa because she stood up to see his act better. This was what I saw as an objection to linear forward moving time and continual creation anyhow, that in the powerful, huge, surging forward drive of life, so many creatures are wounded and crippled, left to die behind the flock. And in my dream I asked for help, and none of the thousands sitting around to form an attentive audience for James would lift a finger, despite my appeals. But then the wide glass doors opened, and the first scouts entered the great building. "We need medical assistance," I said to them, and they came toward me, small as they were, and only the first vanguard. They did represent another force, one which heard and responded. Surely this is a dream drama expression of the retrograde force, which is the other game player and which I construe as either the Logos or Christos or the Holy Spirit, and which to me is the good, although so far weaker of the two players. Certainly the dream showed me clearly that the primary miracle, the one which of necessity must precede all others, is the miracle of life born out of the unliving, the miracle of creation itself. Then the movement up the evolutionary scale, from form to higher form to highest form. This surely is the primary work of the universe, to do this its hardest, first, and most solemn task, over which nothing else can take precedence. How can anyone question that? But although there must be a flock to go on, the species, I guess, or all life, before there can be those who fall back too weak or sick to keep up. This in the dream was so damn clear. One person out of thousands in that auditorium caused trouble, stood up against James rules, and was thrust back down and crippled. The ratio of success to failure was maybe 10,000 to 1. So I am concerned with that one and stepped forward, halting James and his continual miracles of evolving creation. Certainly the most extraordinary event I've seen in dream time or waking time ever. I was asking for medical attention, not for me or for her, but for us. We need medical attention or assistance, whichever. There is such a need. There are casualties, and I understand that he whom I follow, he sees to it that the one casualty is assisted, i.e. gets medical attention. The image of the good scouts, good Samaritans maybe, those which lend a hand to those in need. James represented ruthless creative power. But a balance is needed, both in each individual and for our planet as a whole. It was not with malice, but with zeal that James, Yahweh, I guess, smashed Tess's elbow, Ulna, the crippled lamb limping along, my right shoulder. But I threw my weight in on the balance scale on the side of the injured, the minority, although I personally could only ask for medical help. I had only the power to notice, to step forth, to voice the need, i.e., put it in words. My writing, my speeches, etc., letters, call attention to human needs. But regarding possible time dysfunctions, due either to experiments at e.g. Pulkovo or natural due to overloading of the ontological matrix or both, most of my experiences have had to do not with time, but with space, mostly about Mexico or what resembles Mexico and is taken to be. Future space at some future time? The only for sure time dysfunction I felt was in March 74, and that was, if it existed at all, probably artificially obtained, Pulkovo. The other, spatial ones, they probably were natural dysfunctions, sudden brief windows into the future of both space and time. What is possible, though, as I've said before, is the notion of mitosis-like splittings of the present due to time dysfunctions, perhaps in our past, that result in alternate worlds. It's as if the merely potential, i.e. discarded at one or more critical junctions along the linear timeline, has come into a periodic shimmering realization alongside what is actual, vide William James, on the sea of potential facts around each actualized fact, each that, so to speak, makes it. Like in my story, The Commuter. Also, there is to me the real thought that adjustments, a la adjustment team, are being made in our past, which are to an ever-increasing degree making a certain alternate present or timeline actual, in place of the one we have, not alongside it. I sense a series of minute tinkerings going on, vide Peter Mann's conversation with me recently on that idea. They are realigning our reality, so it will conform to what the plan, Logos, called for, thus losing the error fact, finally, which crept in. I suppose they could be making this critical correction back as far as 100 AD, just for story purposes, let us suppose a time-traveling team from our future has gone back to 45 AD to see to it that Jesus is not crucified. When the parousia are finished with us, the timeline we have will not even be remembered. Our memories will be retaped to fit our newly made past as well as present, and as in Commuter, we will be relieved that nothing has changed after all. I guess the realigned correctly world will have California still the property of Spain-Mexico. Portugal will retain its States of America. The Catholic Church will not have been rent asunder by the Reformers. This world will have only one huge Christian church body for all.